labeled because they weren't materially different? Is that the idea? The industry's run a long way with that.
Right. The GMO experiment began in the mid-90s where the first GMO crops came onto the market. And the FDA was the one that said, yes, you know, they're acceptable. You can put them on the market. People can eat them. And they made a decision at that point not to require labeling. And we've been in a hole ever since, you know, trying to get some labeling requirements. So this starts with the federal government's failure to require labeling, which is in large part why people went to the states, you know, to get a better response from a legislative process and a democratic process that was working better for them than the feds who dropped the ball on this for 20 years. So, yeah, it's very frustrating. It's a very frustrating issue when you get right down to the core concept you mentioned earlier of people making an informed choice. That's all we're asking for. We have a whole other list of critiques and concerns about how GMOs are regulated. We don't think they're the same. When you look at the whole food chain that uses them, we think there's a lot of differences. But if we're going to tell people that they're voting with their dollars and they're making decisions, you have to give them all the information. And when we came to that line, the industry wasn't willing to do that.
Well, let me ask you finally, what now for activists? There is a large community of people who care very much about this set of issues. I can't imagine everyone's just going to lay down for this. Where does the fight go next?
The first thing is there's still accountability to be had on this, so people need to go look at how their members of Congress voted on this issue. And despite the headlines and what comes out of the food industry, voting for this bill was a mistake, and people need to let their members of Congress know that. There are steps that the USDA is going to take this bill and put it into action. They have to define some of the terms. We're going to do the best we can in that process, and we're going to need the public to help us with that. But in terms of the immediate thing of what do I do as a consumer, the things to keep an eye out for are, you know, certified organic foods. Organic farmers cannot use GMOs. They're not allowed to grow them. And there's also a label called the Non-GMO Project. It's a third party saying, you know, this product doesn't have GMOs in it. So those are options for people in the meantime if they're looking to avoid GMOs. But we would prefer to say where they are. That was the whole point of this. Not to label around it, but in the meantime, that's kind of what we're left with.
All right, then. We've been speaking with Patty Lavera of Food and Water Watch. You can find their work on this and other issues online at foodandwaterwatch.org. Patty Lavera, thank you so much for joining us today on Counterspin.
Thanks for having me.
And that's it for Counterspin for this week. Counterspin is produced by FAIR, the National Media Watch Group based in New York. If you missed part of today's show or you'd like to hear previous shows, you can find them on our website, FAIR.org. The show is engineered by Erica Bassett. I'm Janine Jackson. Thanks for listening to Counterspin.
All right, Janine absolutely killed it. Thanks, Janine Jackson. It is a little past 5:30 on a Monday evening, so that can mean only one thing. Isn't that right, Derek? All right.
Things, but talking about practice.
Talking about practice starts right now.
Talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
Dude, our show is so lit. Oh, man. Dude, if you guys aren't dancing right now, there's something seriously wrong with you listeners.
Come My on. Grandmother is so confused by how our show could be lit right now.
We're on fire.
It's absolutely ridiculous that we get to do this intro at 5:30 during drive time. But, you know, community radio, thank you, KZFR, for putting us on and letting us have this much fun.
Yeah, this prime talking hour right now.
I am Jarrell Gilbert. Alongside me, Derek Isumaki. This is Talking About Practice. We're going to get
everybody
into a read, and then we're going to get into the show.
Yeah, let's do that. Talking About Practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Buffalo Wild Wings, featuring 36 beers on tap, wall-to-wall HDTVs with nonstop sports wings and more at 801 East Avenue. Open every day from 11 a.m. till midnight. and beyond. More information at BuffaloWildWings.com. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports.
All right.
Yeah, thanks, Buffalo. We appreciate the love and support.
Absolutely. Thank you for keeping the lights on and allowing us to play this ridiculous intro and have a good time. So we're going to get into the Olympics. I have here Usain is insane, so that's going to be fun.
Right, yeah.
An interesting article just came out in GQ about Cam Newton, so we'll discuss that. Also, we'll have a little bit of a back and forth here about sportsmanship and our different takes on that. And if we have time, we're going to get into some soccer.
Oh, yes.
But before we do all that, we have a guest. Bradley Feingold is in the house.
How's it going,
What's
guys?
What's up, Bradley?
What's up, Brad? How you doing, brother?
Brad. I'm doing pretty good.
He said he goes by either.
You said Bradley, then you said Brad. You switched it up on me right now.
Like what are we, all right. I told you guys, switch it up.
I'm all trying to keep you guys on your toes.
Okay, fine.
Exactly.
So we want to talk Chico Heat. Brad, you got an opportunity this summer to work with the Chico Heat. And maybe you can just explain kind of what you did, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, I got an amazing opportunity. Both the assistant and the general manager, Hunter Hampton and George Labor, gave me the opportunity to be the PA media coordinator. So pretty much I was the producer for the PA announcer. And that allowed me to pretty much just work with them, writing the scripts, making sure game day was as smooth as possible.
Yeah.
And started in, I want to say, June 1st was kind of like my first day when we started doing the trial runs.
Uh-huh.
And then just game day, got there around 3 and got the script ready, got everything set, and made sure the players' music, the players' walk-ups, or even the pitchers' walk-up songs was on time. So I got to do that all season and watch some baseball.
Yeah, and you got to travel with the team, correct?
No, actually, I did not. No. If I was going to travel, I'd have to do it on my own expense. So I did a lot of home games. The only time I actually got to travel was to the All-Star game in Medford.
That's cool.
Okay. Which was unreal. Our Chico Heat dominated.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It was a great team effort from the North, but the Heat represented. They scored the winning run. It was very nice. Our pitchers, I think it's 4 innings, no earned runs.
That's
strikeouts
awesome.
Up the wazoo.
Represented.
There we go.
Yeah, no, we did a good job. And then I actually just got back from Oregon last night, got into town around 2 a.m., and came back from the championship series in Medford.
Yeah.
We won, correct?
Which we won, exactly.
Yeah.
The first game we lost, I believe it was 12-3 here in Chico, got blown out. And then we had Luke Sirocco on the mound for game 2, and we blew them out 8-3, I believe it was. And then Stuart Bradley took the mound for the deciding game 3 and allowed no runs, pitched a complete game. And
oh, wow.
Yeah,
wow.
We scored 1 in the third, and
That was the one that counted.
Stuart Bradley for the MVP right there, man. That's awesome. Great, great performance.
Unfortunately, they didn't even have an MVP for the playoffs.
Not even. Okay.
Which was a little shocking, but you know what? The whole team deserved that MVP. Like, throughout the whole season, just grinding, struggling in the beginning, and then taking off near the end, getting that second place to
definitely hope you guys were able to make yourselves make your way out to the stadium to actually see some of those games, because they were great. The times that I went, I had a great time. You know, it was just it was good food, there was a great environment, and you had a baseball game in front of you.
Exactly. And that's what we try to do every time. Make sure you guys are enjoying the game, and that even if we are losing, or even if we are not doing what we're hoping to have happen, was to get a win, that you guys are enjoying the experience, enjoying the atmosphere of the Chico Heat baseball, which has been around for the Chico community, started in 97, ended in 92, unfortunately. And then we're starting to back up, and hopefully another 10 years plus.
Yeah, and big shout out to Heater, okay? The Dragon mascot, I got to give him props, because one, he was out there in 100-plus degree weather all summer.
Yep.
He let kids beat him in the race, and finally, the last regular season game of the year, he smoked a kid, and that was...
Oh, he finally beat... Finally. Oh, I was about to say, come on, he needs to get one, okay? Kids can't get this idea that they can win automatically. Yeah, they need some challenge, okay?
He dusted this kid. The whole Heat team came out, started celebrating, throwing water on him.
There weren't too many happy patrons, though, from that.
Really? They were mad that the Heater won?
The players were happy. The fans weren't.
No kidding.
Come on. Yeah, wow.
You could hear booze up in the booth.
I thought it was awesome.
It was quite funny. I honestly, it was unfortunate, just because the whole Heater can't win, the mascot can't win. It was like, So I understood that part. At the same time,
I thought it was awesome.
It was awesome.
Again,
and who cares about those parents? Like, get over it. I'm so sick of these parents that everyone gets a ribbon. Like, this is a conversation for a later day.
Yeah.
But this is a joke. Like,
no, yeah, I was just saying.
Get over it.
The kid cannot go into that race knowing he's going to win. Like, that's what was happening. They set up that trend.
Yeah,
they flipped it.
You got to earn that.
Yeah,
victory.
Come on. Like, what do they get out of it? The kid gets a.
I can't exactly remember, but they do. I think it's like a t-shirt.
I think the kid got a t-shirt anyway.
Okay.
I mean, like, you'll get the t-shirt regardless.
Yeah, okay. See,
but,
okay.
So it's like you get the t-shirt, but I think there might be something else.
Hey, tell that kid to train a little better. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Oh, I heard they're going to bring him back for a revenge match.
Oh, no kidding.
They're trying to bring him, from what I heard, they're trying to bring him back for for the first game of the year, is what I'm
Next season?
What I'm hearing. I don't
That's
know.
That's great.
Okay. Keeping the rivalry alive right now. Yeah, let's build this up.
That, I love that. Yeah, but I mean, the experience of the game was just, it was very family friendly. You know, there's kids running all over the park.
Oh, without a doubt, yeah.
You get really up close and personal, and the team was just a lot of fun to watch, both on the field and the way they interacted with each other. You could tell that the Heat really, and they became friends, a lot of these guys, and they really enjoyed each other's company. Mm-hmm. You could just tell the way they interacted. Mm-hmm. And I got to cover, I would say, 8 to 10 games this season, just filming some stuff, trying to put together a promotional package for you guys. And it was just a ton of fun, man. And again, if you didn't get a chance to go out and check out a game this year, make sure next season you welcome home the defending champs, because it is just a lot of fun. And, you know, Chico doesn't get these things very often where we, you know, we don't have, I mean, whatever we have.
I mean, especially in the summertime right now, like there's nothing to do. You're just probably spending your nights at home anyway. Yeah. Spend a couple dollars. Yeah, I mean, go out to the, especially on the Chico side, you're in the shade. They take care of their own,
They do take care of their own.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So, like I said, it was next year, for sure, guys, definitely go out to those games because they're super cheap to go to, and it's great entertainment for everyone.
Yeah. And we have Kinder's Barbecue out there, Shenanigans.
Yeah.
And then we're looking into some more little vendors, but I mean, it... Like, the lines might be long, but the food
is really good.
Yeah.
The food was really good. Affordable.
Yeah, we're looking to make a lot of changes to make it a little bit more family friendly. Like,
nice.
It was family friendly this year, but we're looking to go.
Are we talking like bounce houses pretty soon? I was going to say, that's what I'm looking for.
I have no clue on
that. Okay, all right.
But I mean,
bounce houses, Chico State.
Yep.
I was recently in one. And it was awesome.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, they need an adult one too. I feel like don't think about the kids.
Yeah, there's
okay?
a bunch of kids in there, but we put a basketball hoop in.
Oh, okay.
And we went in and took it over. It was awesome.
But for the Heat, I heard they're gonna bring in some misters next year.
Like, here we go. Okay, all right.
So like, if you're worried about the Heat and everything, don't worry about that anymore. We're gonna have misters.
I love it.
I do remember one game I went to. You did have like one fan with mist on it. I'm pretty sure I just took it all and just.
Oh, that's right, in the back corner. Yeah,
in the back corner. Yeah, I utilized that.
In that big game, we had some industrial misters
next
to the concession.
Right.
So
in the last couple of weeks, I saw two walk-offs, I believe. Jerome Hill laid down the bunt, and then there was that crazy game where the Heat, I believe they were up 4-1, and then were they playing Lodi?
They were playing Lodi.
They came back and took the lead, and then the Heat came back and won the game with the walk. It was so much fun. That was insane. So.
And Cameron Olsen was behind a lot of those games where it's just like, he hit a home run. I think he ended up with 7 home runs in the year.
Did he really? Wow.
Yeah, most of the home runs came, though, within the last month of the season. It was ridiculous how he just went off there.
The one he hit about a week ago, I think that thing ended up with the train tracks or really close.
I chased that ball down because I wanted to go get it for his family and everything, or just him in general. And that thing was... it barely went into the bullpen, but there was one before, went over the train tracks. It was in some brush over there.
Ended up in an apartment window.
That would have been hilarious.
That would have been awesome.
If that ended up there, I would have taken a picture of it, put it on Twitter.
That's great.
I was riding my bike behind the stadium one night when the game was in session. I really wanted like a home run to get hit. I just imagine me catching it out mid-bike, like, oh my gosh, I'm so crazy.
That would be incredible.
The kayaks out in San Francisco.
Exactly, I was like, there, you have the bikes out there. Just circling around, like waiting for their home run ball. We'll call it like to the pavement or something like that, or something like, I don't know.
That was it was a good time though. So Brad, last couple things here. You are a student at Chico State. You start up in a week. You're entering your senior year, correct?
6th year. So super senior.
Ah, yeah. Special person. So you're getting your master's. Except the bachelor's.
The master's and bachelor's, man.
Master's in college without the actual accreditation.
But, yeah. But I mean, you gave up an entire summer vacation, essentially, to work for the Chico Heat. Any regrets? Or?
Oh, not one. I would do this in a heartbeat.
Awesome.
10 times over.
That's great.
Twice on Sunday. It was an amazing experience, like, to be at a baseball field for a full summer. That's what I want to do for the rest of my life. And to do that at such a young age and do it at like a high level.
Sure.
It was a once in a lifetime experience.
That's great, man. That's great. Well, I don't have anything else.
I would say, check out next year. Right now, you're talking about the Great West League is what Chico is a part of, and they're doing their best to, like you said, make it the Cape Cod of the West right now. Yep. Like I said, people who know baseball know the Cape Cod League is a really big summer league that attracts a whole bunch of attention, talent-wise.
You know, before we move on, if I could, sorry to interrupt, could you explain the league a little bit? Because I had to explain it to my grandmother what this league was a little bit, and I think it would be helpful for people who aren't familiar.
Yeah, so this is a six-team, Lodi, Sacramento, Medford, Portland, and Chico, and I forget, Marysville. Yeah. It's a six-team Woodback Collegiate League. Medford and Marysville were two of the teams that were already in different leagues before this was made. And this is the first year it's been this league's been established. And from talks, I think they're wanting to, like I said earlier, they want to be a contender, like Cape Cod League of sorts. So they're going to be looking to expand, but I mean,
where do you guys get your players from?
We get them all over. I mean, we had David Novarita from Hawaii. We have Luke Sirocco from,
and they're all college kids.
Yeah,
right?
They're all college kids. Actually, you have to have collegiate eligibility and getting ready to go to college. We actually had a guy that was undeclared to a college yet, just came out of Chico High, Luke Bolin. So he just came out of. Just graduated about a week before season started. He came in because we needed some players because we had a lot of our players still in the collegiate or the College Baseball World Series.
Oh wow!
So we'll have some kids from JCs just fresh out of high school because they're going to college. So, I mean, you get to see some local players like Samson Abernathy, Bolin, Wiseman, Stuart Bradley from Yuba City. So I mean, all these local players. So you get to support your community.
Yeah,
and you get to see some. Championship ball.
Awesome, man. I really appreciate it, Brad.
Yeah.
Thanks for stopping
thank you,
by,
Brad.
Brother.
Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, man.
Chico Heat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Check out the Heat. So, Brad, once again, sir, you want to shout anyone out or say hello to some people before you get out of here?
Yeah. I just want to take a shout out to my mom and dad.
Absolutely.
It's their anniversary. Number one. About a week or two ago. So, happy anniversary to them. And I just want to say hi to my grandmas that are listening. I told them about this. And the Chico State and Chico Heat family. Hopefully you guys are listening.
Grandmas are the best, aren't they?
Seriously,
they're the best.
They're like making sure that's like if you're doing something, even if it's scrubbing a car, they're like, I want to know. I want to do it. I want to watch.
Yeah,
and I made sure to tell them because I know if I didn't and they heard about it, they'd probably beat me silly. So
great, man.
Right on.
Really
man.
Appreciate it, Brad.
Yeah.
All right, you can go on and get out of here now, man. Yeah.
Take care, guys.
You're welcome back anytime, brother.
Oh, yeah.
We enjoyed having
just let
you.
Let me know when.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll do, brother. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Good luck with your first week of school, back in the grind, and summer's over, man.
I was say, we know that. We see U-Haul vans everywhere right now.
Yeah.
They're coming in full force.
The kids are taking over, man.
Yeah.
The kids are taking over. So good luck, and we'll be in talk soon, and we'll have you back for sure.
Okay, yeah, thank you very
definitely,
much.
Buddy. Brad, have a good one, man.
Take care, guys.
All right, brother. Thank you.
Take care.
We'll see you soon. All right, once again, big thank you to Brad Feingold for coming on down here, saying hello, giving us some insight to the Chico Heat. Again, if you guys get the opportunity next season, absolutely, check out some games. They were an absolute blast. Even though it's deathly hot, if you're a Chico Heat fan, for the most part, you get to sit in the shade. So
yeah, no, totally, you do.
And like, it's not bad. They got nice refreshments out there. So
I mean, come on, we're in Chico. We know it's hot. We're used to it. Come on, we're tough people up here, right?
Absolutely.
Let's show a little toughness and team spirit and go out there next summer. I mean, there is still a decent crowd out there. They did, I believe, set the record for the highest single game attendance, highest overall attendance, and they're champions of the league.
Yep.
So the Chico Heat, we're supporting them pretty rightly so, and I think we can keep that going next year.
Yeah, you know, one thing I didn't mention while Brad was here, but that I really enjoyed about the games was just the diversity from ages, different races, and just everyone coming out and in solidarity to kind of support this local team. And it was just really cool to see that back in Chico. My first baseball game when I was a little kid wasn't the Giants, actually. It was the Chico Heat. And so it's pretty cool, nostalgic that they're back and that they were champions. Who would have figured it, you know?
Yeah, seriously, this is their first year back. They're able to get that much talent going and put a run at a title.
Big salute to Hunter Hampton and all the guys over there that put in just a ton of work. Those guys, those players don't get paid much. I don't know what the staff gets paid, but I can imagine they don't have huge budgets over there, and they work really, really hard. The players, the host families, everything. So
yeah, I mean, they're playing like 30 plus games, and they have like almost no days off.
They play nearly 60 games
okay.
or something.
Yeah, 30 home games. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
you're right.
I think they
play
66 games in the span of like 70 days or something.
It's a tough... That's a high number
right
there. And
again, remember that these are all college kids, so they're giving up their summer. They're not going out and partying and just, you know, hanging out and getting in trouble. These kids are playing baseball. They're working hard. They're traveling. They're working on their craft. Some of these guys will go pro, but for the most part, these guys aren't going pro. They're just doing it because they want to get better and they love the sport. And that's just... you know, for me, I think that's really honorable, and it's just cool to witness, man. And again, it was awesome to see how they interacted. You could tell they were having a real good time, and that team bonded. So, again, hats off to the Great West League champs, the Chico Heat. And, you know, we'll welcome the defending champs home next season.
Yeah, keep the ball rolling, boys.
All right, so we do have professional sports. Actually, we have more amateur sports.
Yeah, I was going to say, the Olympics, granted, there are some pros in there, but it is still technically an amateur competition somehow.
Technically, sure. I love, so you've been writing up the game notes for us the last couple weeks here, which I appreciate because I work all day. And I love this. Usain is insane. Fastest man in the world for the third straight Olympics. So let's start there. A lot of interesting topics to cover, I think, with this. Where did you want to go? Because there's something in particular I want to talk about. But before we get there, I kind of wanted to see where your head was at with this.
Well, definitely it's kind of – the Olympics has kind of hit my forte. It hit track and field. See, it's part of the Olympics right now, which is where I really kind of get more geared into it, because being a former track athlete – I actually get it, as opposed to half of the sports that are out there right now. I have no understanding what they are.
Right.
But track is always, it's such a pure sport. Very simple. Just running. You and the person next to you. Mm-hmm. And it's just you, either him, you win or you lose. That's really what it comes down to. And Usain Bolt had last night, again delayed because NBC doesn't believe in playing this stuff live.
Right.
We saw Usain Bolt defeat Justin Gatlin in a whole plethora of fields from pretty much... from the rest of the world, and he won handedly. 9.8 was his time in the 100-meter dash, and what strikes me is just his – it's like easy breezy to him. When you watch the guy do it, it's so – like how easy it is for him out there, it shouldn't be. And that's what kind of like infuriates me as a runner. Like I've never had that much joy crossing a finish line. Like I'm exhausted, and I'm happy it's over. But when you see his – like he just got this – he's not even at the finish line, and you see a great photo, if you haven't seen it already, of him leading, you know, a couple body lengths in front of people, and he's just looking over to the camera and smiling at it while everyone else is just focusedly intent looking behind him. Great photo that pretty much encapsulates, thank you, what Usain Bolt has been doing to the track world. And he really has... three Olympics in a row. No man has ever done that before for the 100 meters. And for him to be able to do it for that longevity, I mean, he's been doing that. That's 12 years right there.
It's insane.
That he's been competing at this level and further. And he's not just doing it. It's not just every 4 years. There are competitions that do happen, you know, years that the Olympics aren't happening. We just don't pay attention to the sport. But he's still out there day in and day out, putting in work. Not just him. Everyone in the track community is. But it's incredible. Like what he's doing. And it was awesome to watch last night. Granted, it is only for less than 10 seconds, and it's 10 seconds, probably the most popular 10 seconds in the Olympics at this time.
Yeah, for me personally, I don't know what it is about the 100-meter dash. But it's something I'll always watch Olympics after Olympics, even if I'm just passing through and it's high school. One, because it doesn't take a long attention span, which I don't have one. So it makes it a lot easier to consume in very, very bite-sized portions. Baseball would be much more popular if they could figure out a way to make
a 10-second baseball game.
not the entire game, but, you know.
Yes. Just like something like that.
A 10-second at-bat. And they replace pitchers with that machine. It just shoots out like six balls. And
no chance to, like, reset yourself. Yeah,
you have 10 seconds to hit one.
There you go. That's new baseball.
That would really speed things up, and I think just make things a little bit more interesting and chaotic. But all jokes aside, I always appreciate the Olympics, the sprinting portion of the Olympics. It's just it's a lot of fun, and you know, there's just something. All of us, I feel, at one point in elementary school or beyond, you know, your buddy comes up to you, you challenge your buddy, let's race.
Yeah.
It's the simplest, most pure form, probably the first sport ever created, I would imagine, because it requires nothing but your working feet. Legs.
Yeah, that's it. Like, hey, let's use faster
If your body works and you can do this sport, doesn't matter how old you are, you know.
You're going to hate it probably because most of us don't like going that fast for that long.
Right.
But still, we all can do it. It's all within us.
Yeah.
There are some more graceful runners out there than others, but.
So I wanted to talk about Usain Bolt. There's a couple things that I really find really interesting about Usain Bolt. One, I think his superstardom, his rise to superstardom, because everywhere other than America, for the most part, this guy is.
He's number one.
He's a legend.
Yeah, he really is. And it's interesting how he doesn't transcend well here.
It is interesting because he is essentially, especially if you start talking about in the Caribbean itself, you have stars, you know, overseas like Ronaldo, a Messi.
Yeah.
You know, you have a LeBron James here, Steph Curry. But that's what Usain Bolt is for much of the world.
Yeah.
And I mean, he does get his Gatorade commercials here, but if you visit other countries, even in Europe, Usain Bolt is all over the television, all over the place. And we just, for whatever reason, we don't consume him the same way here. And what he's doing is insanity. You wrote it here. Usain is insane. It's crazy that three Olympics in a row, 12-year, we're talking about a 12-year time frame, we can't find anyone in the world faster than this man.
We don't accept that. I mean, one, track as a sport in the U.S. is laughable, to be honest. I mean, does it get any, like, primetime coverage, really, whatsoever? I mean, unless, like, granted, there's no professional league that happens here, really. If they do it, it's all in Europe.
Yeah.
The Europe actually takes track very, like, has actual appreciation for the sport. So that's one thing that's definitely holding us back. We kind of see track as, like, I can't really do any other sports, so I'll run. Like, it's like my fallback. Like, I do track to get ready for football or basketball. I do this to keep my body in shape. It's like a way of staying in shape, not a sport, really.
Yeah, but there's something just so pure and natural about sprinting. I just think it's cool, you know. And
you're talking to the choir right now, man. I love it.
Right,
yeah.
Right. But we as a country, we're gonna all wrap our arms around swimming. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, like
are you kidding me? I mean, okay, I get it. We're dominant and Michael Phelps is great in the pool and Katie Ledecky is just smashing ladies left and right.
I can still walk 50 meters faster than you can swim it.
Yeah, and I understand wanting to see greatness, and that's why we, you know, all of a sudden we're fans of swimming. But it's a very affluent sport to begin with. And it's nowhere near as inclusive as sprinting, which, again, just requires a working body.
That's it, yeah. I mean,
fully functional body, and you can sprint.
And you kind of bring up an interesting point that's been brought up in the media with that one lady winning the time for first place.
Ledecky?
The African-American.
Oh, yeah.
We should know this because we're doing a sports show, but.
Yeah, no.
Goes to show you, yeah.
One thing I'll never do is come in here in front. If I'm not interested or if I haven't seen something, I'm not going to lie about it and say I did.
But the reason why I bring her up is because you say that swimming is more of an affluent sport. And with her being the first African-American to win a individual medal in the swimming pool, it's kind of a statement right there that there has been a big thing that drownings happen.
We don't even know.
We don't even know. it hasn't been plastered. Like, I mean, we know Simone Biles for being this great gymnast,
sure,
but we've had that before, you know? This is kind of, I feel it's kind of a big deal that, you know, this is the first African-American to win an individual medal in swimming. That's kind of like, I didn't even think that was possible. Like, we're still waiting this long,
sure,
for that to happen.
I mean, and it's, you know, let's talk about ending some stereotypes right there.
Yeah, I mean,
People give me a hard time for being half black. People always say, do you know how to swim? I mean, it's a fun... It's usually my friends. It's, if it was some guy off the streets, I might punch him in the nose. That's a different story.
But like, it is a very higher rate of drownings happen in the African American community than anywhere else.
Yeah.
And one of that is being is they haven't had access to pools.
Yeah,
to
there's
go swimming.
A social economic divide there.
No, most definitely.
I think we would be, you know, foolish to deny that. And so I don't think we're saying anything that's shocking here. We're just spewing.
Yeah, we're just spewing right now and just talking. And like it's a funny how, you know, it kind of comes full circle right there.
Absolutely. This is FM 90.1 KZFR Community Radio, located in the heart of downtown Chico. We broadcast in Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. You can always check us out on our app, 90.1 KZFR, or check us out online, www.kzfr.org. We got a read here, Derek.
We do, yeah. Talking about practice is made possible by all those generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Outside In, providing lodging in Nevada City. Outside Inn is nestled in the Pines, just two blocks from downtown Nevada City. The inn features theme rooms, hardwood floors, swimming pools, DSL, and lots of ambiance.
Ambiance, ooh.
Reservations can be made by calling 530-265-2233 or at outsidein.com. Wow, thank you, Outside Inn.
Yeah, thank you, Outside Inn. We appreciate it. So let's stay on this topic real quick, because I do find a lot of this fascinating. Going back to Usain Bolt, if we could, and just talking about his superstardom verse in this country in particular. And of course, we're going to embrace athletes that are from here.
Yeah, we embrace the Americans
more than
yeah.
we would, you know, a foreign-born player. I think that's natural and understandable. But, you know, as a country, I think one of the things that we really love more than anything is greatness. We love to build our stars up and then we love to tear them down. And for whatever reason, we just haven't been that way with Usain Bolt. And I don't know what is really more American besides where he's born than Usain Bolt. His bravado, the
yeah.
way he just carries himself, the celebrating, the picture taking, you know, the smiling. I mean, this
he's
picture,
very much like Cam Newton style.
Very much.
Yeah.
Very
and
much
his
so.
His celebratory, his off the field kind of antics in a sense. He's very, he's loud about himself. Not to say that it's a bad thing. It's just
no.
that's just,
I mean, and we see the same thing with the Michael Phelps, but the thing I find interesting is the, if you compare and contrast the two, right? So, granted, Michael Phelps is from here and has won more Olympic medals than anyone ever and, you know, all these great things. And I'm not trying to take anything away from him because it sounds like there's a but coming, and there is. But the man has a bit of a checkered past. Now, he got caught with marijuana, and many people in this county won't think that him taking a picture with a bong is a big deal. And all in all, it's probably not, except for the fact that you're Michael freaking Phelps, and
yeah.
you should be smarter about it. But we see this happening with NFL players and all these guys all the time.
And, I mean, he's got a couple DUIs as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, he has two.
Yeah, two.
Two.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we still kind of wrap our arms around this guy like he's an American hero. And these things get swept under the rug. Whereas the question is often asked of Usain Bolt, is he taking steroids? Now, to be fair, I don't think it's an unfair question, nor would I be surprised at this point if any professional athlete, this excluding no one,
yeah.
came out and said they got busted for performing enhancing drugs.
Granted, he has not tested on that. There are some interesting dealings that happen in Jamaica when they're not in the world competition
mm-hmm.
In terms of how their testing happens, and it's something that comes into question, and he definitely has, you know, a light's going to be shining on him. When anyone's performing that well, people are always going to think, yeah, but someone's helping you do that. You're not
yeah.
just doing that on your own blood, sweat, and tears right now. People always think there's something more. We always kind of expect that to happen because it's happened to us so often. Like, we've seen so many of these people who have been great come out and say, yeah, I was cheating. I mean, that honestly, like, from the top down, you really can pretty much mark off a lot of people that have ruined our hearts that way. From Marion Jones, you've got, like, Barry
yeah.
Bonds, you've got pretty uh-huh. much anyone that's been great in a sport. Not say everyone does it, but someone that has been great in a sport has been shown to be cheating at some point.
I think especially in this sport, I believe the last four four of the last five world record holders all got popped for either doping or doing something, taking some
illegal substances.
Yes.
Now, granted, that list is rather odd in some of those things. I know that they have some certain things on there that are banned that they don't quite make sense.
Sure. Yeah, that may not actually enhance your performance in the traditional sense and make you faster or recover quicker. It's just, I was looking at a list earlier for some reason of a bunch of words I couldn't really pronounce, and I got flustered and I left the page. But
I'm over it.
I was looking for what they test for, and a lot of it, you could see a direct correlation. But yeah, there's some shady stuff going on with the way they test people, these sprinters in Jamaica in particular. But I mean, in general, so let's say he is using. I would guess that most of the people he's racing against are too. Still impressive. And if he's not using and he's beating these guys, who again
are you maybe
most
using.
Likely, we can't say you know, this is some speculation that's a little, I don't want to say unwarranted, but it's a little reckless, speculation.
They're probably not listening to us. I think we're okay
now. We're probably not damaging. We're not going to get sued for libel anytime soon.
Yeah.
That's for damn sure. But, you know, the point with standing is, you know, a lot of people in this particular sport have been busted. They and Usain Bolt has not. And I just find it interesting where, you know, again, Michael Phelps hasn't been busted for anything, any performance enhancing drugs. Neither is Katie Ledecky. And I'm not here, I'm just kind of thinking aloud. I'm not here accusing any of them of doing anything. I'm just saying, I just find it interesting how, you know, we don't bring that up as a topic of national conversation when it comes to our athletes. But shortly after Usain Bolt wins last night on Twitter, my timeline's blowing up. And again, I realize that Twitter is usually the vocal minority and it's full of idiots, and I try to follow as few idiots as possible. But still, there's a lot of fairly reputable people asking a similar question that I'm asking now. And it's, you know, do you think he uses?
Yeah, it's interesting that that's the question that we ask about Usain, but with Phelps, we're like, he's just amazing.
Yeah,
he's got big feet. So
he's half shark.
Yeah, he can swim. And he's like a piranha, and he can just goggles up the water. No, it is definitely. I think a lot of it. One of the reasons why he isn't an American. I mean, if you look at a lot of foreign-born athletes, do not get the biggest amount of hype here.
Sure.
I mean, like I said, granted, football, soccer for the rest of for us people is not as big of a sport, but Ronaldo and Messi are probably two of the highest paid athletes in the world.
Yeah.
And they have their fame here, but nowhere near the stardom that they have overseas or down south.
Yeah, that's fair.
Which again probably goes to the fact that we don't like, you know, soccer as much. It's not, granted, it's growing in popularity, but again, like with Usain, he's not an American. He beat out an American to take that title, and America, we do like greatness, but we like it when we're great. Like, we have to be the ones that are like, yeah, we're great. We're going to tear us down, but we're also be the great ones too. Like, no one else, because we're the, you know, obviously the greatest country in the world, and we have to represent that by our athletes somehow. That's like our mindset, I feel.
USA, USA.
Exactly. USA. I mean, it honestly gets ridiculous when you're looking at the Olympic Games, some of the fans that are in attendance, and like the amount of national pride that we're now putting out there of like USA and such.
Well, I think that's one really cool thing about the Olympics is just the gathering of all the countries and the national pride. And again, I mentioned this before the Olympics started. And by the way, I said I was going to have a list of embarrassing comments that Bob Costas and the NBC cast made about other countries just being uninformed about other countries, and you know, when they bring up their tidbits of, oh, here's Nigeria, you know, and they just say
they're something in Africa.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Bob Costas.
Yeah, and a lot of times it's not that it's not complimentary, it's almost disrespectful. And I was going to bring that list, and then I saw that John Oliver just did the exact same thing I was going to do. So I'm going to steal some of his. Bomani Jones did the exact same thing. So apparently, I guess it's great that I'm not the only person taking notice, but it's also a little disappointing because I did say it before the Olympics started. I wanted to bring that list, but I'll still bring it once the Olympics are over because I think it'll be a fun way to kind of remember the Olympics and then say, did you know? And then I'll bring up some interesting tidbits. So that's neither here nor there.
Okay, well, thank you for bringing that up right now and not having anything to show for it.
You're welcome.
Yeah, okay, I was excited. I was like, all right, let's go through this list right now. Oh, no, you're still on your Google Home search screen.
I was not
pulling anything up right now.
I was going to Google something, and I just looked at okay.
No, I was going to say, well, that's interesting. Granted, we did talk about like that contrast between how we view Michael Phelps and how we view Usain Bolt, and how we're obviously I try to bring up the argument that because track's not that big of a sport here, but neither is swimming either. We're only big swimming fans because of the Olympics and because of Michael Phelps, really.
Right.
And like the fact that America actually does well in the pool for some reason.
I guess we just like dominating.
Yeah, that's really what it comes down to. If we're not dominating, it's like it's not our athletes dominating, then we don't want to like. You're like a subpar athlete. You're like prime two.
Yeah.
You know, like we're prime number. We're like prime. They're like subprime. You know,
right? Right. If we're not awesome, then it's irrelevant.
Yeah, it's like okay, that's a good person over there, but they're not American. So
China, you're better at math. All right, we're not teaching math anymore. Yes,
we're done. All right, we're gonna have the arts here. Okay, yeah. Nothing but arts.
We're gonna dominate the arts program for years to come.
We're gonna let people embrace who they are and not force them down math.
But we were talking about some of the bravado that. That Usain Bolt has, and I was saying that there's nothing more American than some showboating and, you know, the whole USA, we're number one type thing. And I think this would be not the smoothest of transitions, but I would really like to get into this Cam Newton article.
I was definitely going to say, I think it said, like, much like we like the bravado,
right.
The guy that also shows bravado is this guy Cam Newton,
absolutely.
Quarterback for the Carolina Panthers, who had a pretty interesting article come out in GQ recently.
Yeah, so you sent it to me. I didn't get a read all the way through it, because I got it shortly before I got here.
Not to mention, like, GQ articles are really long.
Very long.
I mean,
very, very long.
It's good, but it's just like...
But can you highlight some of the things that you found interesting?
It was interesting. He brought up pretty much they had a conversation with Cam Newton, and one of the things that definitely got brought to my attention was he was really trying to bring up a lot of issues that were kind of hot takes on stuff. A lot of political things in particular, because he did bring up the fact of him bringing up his quote saying that I'm an African-American quarterback that may scare a lot of people because they haven't seen nothing they can compare me to. And then when he was saying, like, what was his response to that, Cam Newton responded and said, I don't want this to be about race because it's not. It's not. Like, we're beyond that as a nation, which was a very quote that sparked a lot of debate in the interweb.
Yeah.
A lot of people saying that either he's misinformed and doesn't realize that there is race. I don't think that's really what he's trying to go for
context. Can you read that quote one more time?
I don't want this to be about race because it's not. It's not. Like, we're beyond that as a nation. And this is in response to a lot of people saying a lot of NFL fans are racist. And a lot of them spew a lot of hate towards a lot of players.
Yeah.
He responded, there was a quote by Josh Norman, his former, his previous, I'm sorry.
Teammate,
thank you.
Words, I know.
Okay.
Troublesome.
Yeah, I know, right? It just doesn't work well for me sometimes. But Josh Norman last year said that I'm going to be precise when I say it's hate, talking about the stuff that's spewed out from some of the fans towards the players.
Yeah.
Cam responded to that by saying his response may be somebody else's response, but that's not how I feel. It's not racism. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion.
Sure.
Which I thought that was kind of interesting because we do have a very a big blanket when we say something is racist. We like to really point stuff out that's racist, but really that's kind of where the dialogue stops oftentimes.
Sure. And there's so many different levels of racism, whether it's institutional, blatant racism, subliminal racism. There's so many different layers to it. And as a society, we just have never done a good job of discussing it. And I think that's why someone like Cam Newton will quickly point out that it's not about race. It's not about race. Because what's he supposed to say?
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, people hate me because I'm black, I'm good looking, and your girlfriend likes me.
Those are all significant reasons to hate someone, I feel.
Like, but I mean,
I don't like you anymore.
I mean, look, he's very successful. He's very rich. He's a good-looking, tall, African-American, strong, powerful dude.
Yeah.
You
feel like there's not a whole lot you could hate about someone being that way. Because they just feel like they embody the idea of like what a great American should be. Someone who strives to be really good, puts their body in physical peak condition, and performs on a daily basis, which he does. He's shown that he's had a lot of naysayers throughout his entire career from the way that he acts, in particular in press conferences, and the way that he loses, saying that he's a sore loser and that he kind of needs to grow up. Which, sure, that might be the case. There's something that you do need to learn about that.
Agreed.
But he still does strive to be the best that he can be and make his team as great as he can be, because you know that his team really rides on him. If he does well, there's a very good chance that his team does well, and vice versa. They do hinge on each other. And I definitely think it is interesting when he's trying to, like, not say pull it out of the race card, because yes, race might fall into that, but oftentimes we just like to say things are racist and just leave it there. And like, okay, what are we supposed to do from now on?
Yeah, instead of examining it further. And
yeah, and I'd say there's also, like, I think a very dark thing to say when we do have, like, keep instilling in us that there's this, like, obvious blanket racism throughout all of society that we can no longer overcome. Because that's what it honestly sometimes feels like, that we're just stuck in this cycle right now of
yeah.
blatant racism wherever we look. And, like, there's no way that, like, any African-American or minority person can get out of it. Like, you're just stuck in this situation.
Yeah.
And your job is just to, like, point out the racist things, which it might be the case right now. And I think that so oftentimes we do get looked at the fact that, oh, this is racist. Okay, that's fine. It is racist. It might be. But how do you respond to that? If you're just going to sit here and say, that's racist, I'm not going to participate in this anymore, that's one way to go about it. But I think that the way he looks at it is like, you may call it racism. That's fine. But I'm going to still be out here performing every single day. You can say what you want. And, like, granted, I look like an Anglo-Saxon American to you for the most part. I look like a tall white guy. But granted, I do have a mother that was born and raised in Mexico and came here when she was 20 years old. So I speak from her perspective.
Guada.
Yes, my mom out there, love you. Obviously, moms are the best. So are grandparents.
Yeah.
I'm coming from her perspective and knowing that she came here when she was 21 years old. And she has worked her way to become a very successful real estate agent right now. And she's had her naysayers. She's told me stories of people calling her names and giving her racism mark and not giving her business. But the only thing you can do is, okay, that's fine. You can have that ignorant opinion of yours. I'm going to keep trying to do my thing. I'll work with somebody else who will work with me, or I'll still work around this. Just because someone might have that view about you doesn't automatically mean that you have to shut down the conversation, I feel. And I think that's what sometimes we feel like. You have to change your ways. Well, if you want them to change your ways, I think that the best way you can do that is just by going on and succeeding and realizing that, sure, I might be a Latina woman that was born in Mexico and came here when I was 21, but I'm still a successful real estate agent selling your house for you. You're still coming to me for advice when you need that.
Yeah.
And, like, that's, you might still think I'm an ignorant brown person and, like, go back to Mexico or whatever. That's that's your ignorant opinion to have that. I think that's what, ultimately, when I was reading this, that he's just kind of going on, like, sure, there might be people out there who think black people are lesser citizens, and, you know, that's just the blanket truth, especially in the South where he's playing at. He's playing in South Carolina. That's a very, not
North
to say
Carolina.
North Carolina. I'm probably, I should know this. Wow.
Yeah, you're a Carolina Panthers fan.
Terrible. And
they do play outside.
No, they play in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Charlotte's North Carolina.
Okay,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Geography is not, it should be good at that. But say they're near, they're there. But again, a very part of the country that has a very deep link to racism and the African Americans being deprived there. And I think that kind of goes to show that, sure, people might have that. But the best way to silence those people is just by being succeeding. Granted, he does some things that a lot of people rub in the wrong way by being, you know, kind of that sportsmanship we want to talk about of he loves dancing. He loves to have a great time. And that might go too far, but that's not the point, really. He's still out there as a black man competing and winning.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think I don't necessarily agree or disagree with him because it's his opinion. He's saying he doesn't think it's racism. Then fine, you know, I think, does racism exist in NFL fans? Of course, because they're just people, just like the rest of us, and racism exists
and for the most part,
all
like,
walks of life.
All Americans watch football, and there's racism in this country, so like it just kind of, it has to be, you know?
It kind of goes hand in hand, you know what I mean? It's a no-duh type situation, but I do think the way he plays can infuriate people. And I'll be the first to cop to this. I used to get frustrated and roast the guy, you know, obviously not in a public forum because I didn't have the platform at the time, but with buddies and just say, look at this guy. You know, I remember one particular game, they were down 27 in a Thursday night game to the Giants 4 or 5 years ago. I want to say it might not have been that long ago, but I remember this specifically. And he does one of those incredible jumps when he jumps over the entire line, scores a touchdown, then he does his Superman dance, and I'm like, bro, you're in the fourth quarter and you're down 20 points.
Yeah, no, I remember
what
that
are you
game.
Doing?
Yeah.
You know, and there's been times where he looks very pouty on the sidelines, and he walked out of the press conference, and all those things. And yes, that's not exactly how you want the CEO of your football team to act, and that's what the quarterback is, just an extension of management, and that's why we look at the quarterback different than we do really any other position in sports across the board. You know, we always say the quarterback's the most important position in all of sports, and we look at them different. So this was the first, not the first time, but this was the first time that this a player of his stature had these type of issues, I would say. We've seen similar traits in guys who couldn't hack it, and just, you know, Ryan Leaf, for example, comes to mind. And obviously, he had drug and alcohol problems that went way beyond what Cam did. And Cam, for the most part, since coming out of college, because he got in a bunch of trouble in college, he's been pretty clean citizen. He's been pretty, you know, he does a lot for kids. I believe in this article he talks about him. I don't remember, but he does.
One of his big missions in life is he definitely finds himself. He has like a show on Nickelodeon that he does with kids.
Oh,
that
really?
He does a show where he like helps kids achieve what they want to do. So like one of them, they're saying they want to make a YouTube video about how to tame snakes, which if he's helping kids do that, that's awesome.
Sure.
Like that's cool that he's putting himself in that situation to, you know, uses his stature.
Yeah, I think it's really cool that he uses his celebrity, and kids worship guys like this. I remember being his age, or when I was a little guy, I changed my name to Joe because I worshiped Joe Montana. And then I realized I couldn't throw a football and I was much better at being a receiver, so I changed my name to Jerry later on.
From Joe to Jerry, man, all right.
Yeah, because, you know, I worship these guys. Yeah. You know, what they did is what I wanted to do when I was a kid. I thought I would be a professional football player, and it's, you know, how I spent my Sundays was watching football with my grandparents or my mom or whatever with my buddies. And, you know, so it's cool that he uses his celebrity to reach out to kids. But he does a lot. I just had it pulled up. He does a lot of charity that never makes the light of day. And
yeah.
I always find that fascinating. And you know, I think part of the reason he is polarizing is all the dancing and the extracurricular stuff. And we're running out of time. I think this is an interesting conversation, but let's just touch on it because we're having this discussion the other night over some drinks. And I was of the mind that I absolutely love the showboat. That's my stuff right there. I love the guy who's going to showboat, but not only showboat, but back it up.
Yeah.
And you were of a different mind.
I'm definitely, like I said, sportsmanship is something that I still kind of hold on to. I believe that there is showboating, and there's also like a way to celebrate, I feel. And I feel like sometimes showboating just takes it to extreme in my eyes. You can call me old-fashioned, or maybe to, you know, say I'm like an old-timer that just wants to get off my lawn and keep things classy.
Right.
But I still think that there's something in – just because you won, it gives you this automatic right to downgrade everyone else, to kind of degrade them in a sense. And that's – granted, that person might have been talking smack to you. They might have been saying a lot of trash to you before this event even happened, and you win, and you're feeling fantastic. Your emotions are running high.
Yeah.
So I understand, like, there's a certain point of celebration which I'm totally fine with. I would – who wouldn't want to celebrate a touchdown or winning a game, a big game? Of course you want to. But Cam pushes it to a certain extreme, I feel, with – his moves that he does after every scoring touchdown. Granted, I'm always for it because I am a Carolina Panther fan, and when he scores, it's beneficial to me. But when you're doing like eight different dance moves and stuff, it's like, okay, we get the point, you scored. Show a little class at this point in time. At least in my eyes, I'm thinking you already won. What more do you need to do to that person to make them feel bad? Are you really, like, is it that important to you to make them aware that they lost? Like, they don't know that already. And also, like I said, you know, we are in a situation where kids idolize these players.
Yeah.
And when you see these players do that, kids totally adopt that. You see them always taking on the celebrations that they do. I mean, the dab took off when Cam started doing it.
I mean, you're seeing it in the Olympics right now.
Yeah, no, everyone.
And Cam's the one who shined a light on it. Yes, he didn't invent it. It was a thing. The Migos argue they did, but they really didn't. It was a thing before
Cam,
the Migos. But Cam is the reason that the dab took off.
Like, and it's the only dance move my nephew can do, and he does all sorts of forms of it to me. Whenever I'm like, throws his hands up and, you know, it's like, it's not that hard to do, so I get why we can latch on to it really easy, especially us white people, because it's a good move for us, you know? It doesn't involve a lot of rhythm.
It doesn't require any rhythm, actually.
Yeah. Just the ability to bend a couple arms.
Yeah, it's a quick, like, yeah, and you're good.
It's like a high five with yourself.
Yeah, there's no footwork necessary. There's no bouncing of the shoulders, or, you know, and you definitely, like you said, don't have to catch a rhythm.
I get why we...
For you rhythmically challenged people out there, it's the perfect dance move.
Yes.
But, you know, one thing I think is interesting when you break this down, and so often our show goes down the race path, and sometimes I understand it could be a little annoying, but one thing I do find interesting about it is African-Americans in this country, in modern-day America, two places that they've really succeeded would be hip-hop and sports, right?
Yes.
And those things kind of mirror each other. And hip-hop is all about being the alpha male, being the... or female, for that matter, being the...
the top dog, the number one.
Yeah, I'm the greatest. I mean...
always claiming that, yes.
That used to be a thing in hip-hop when someone came out and said it. It's like, ooh, are they? And now it's just like, oh, yeah, Chingy said he's the greatest, or whatever.
Yeah, because like everyone can drop that line. And it's like...
yeah, but it's very... I already used the word bravado. It's very braggadocio, if you will.
Okay,
you
know,
it's
right.
Very much, look at me, I'm better than you, and I'm going to show you why I'm better than you. And I think a lot of that has to come with a lot of their upbringings in the inner city. You don't really get to stunt like that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. You don't get too many opportunities to say, look at me, look at how well I'm doing at life. This is me. You know, and these are things that a lot of people, and I'm not going to say just Caucasians, I think just the class difference in general, take for granted. If you're of a certain class and you have certain advantages, you don't necessarily have to search for that moment to shine as much, you know, because
you always have a pedestal for the most part.
Right, whether it be your education, your job, whatever. And for a lot of these young African-American athletes, they grow up on hip-hop. And so the way that they interact and they celebrate touchdowns or nasty dunk or something like that, I think is a direct reflection. It's almost a did the chicken or the egg come first type deal, you know, where both these entities, both hip hop and sports, feed off one another. And so I see where a lot of these athletes are coming from. And for me personally, the reason I don't have so much of a problem with it, and I get that it can be overdone, you know, not every time you get a dunk do, you know, you need to yell about it and slap your chest. And do the fans need to run around the court? But that's kind of the culture of the game. So I'm cool with it. I just think the interesting part is, you know, these two entities, both hip hop and sports, do really mirror each other. And so I understand it a bit more. I'm more patient with it than, oh, look at this guy. You should just shake the hand and toss the ball to the referee and keep it moving. You know what I mean?
No, and I get where that commonality comes in and how they're added onto each other. And that is, like I said, it is the culture, very much so within the, you know, the African-American community too. It is showcasing a certain self. And one of the points I always kind of have is when you do that, you're trying to bring all the attention onto you, but there's more to you than just you.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things that has always kind of gotten me is that you're not in that situation without a lot of sacrifices from a lot of people in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might have done a lot of sacrifices in yourself to help better your life, but people have sacrificed their lives to make your life better in that situation. And there's a certain way I feel that when you're doing it, you might be saying, oh, I'm showcasing what all this hard work has done. But at that moment in time, you really are just like, I just did this amazing thing. When it should be in reality, like, dude, I just accomplished a great feat because of all these people's support that are behind me, whether it be my teammates that helped me got there, my parents who drove me to and from practices when I was a kid, my grandparents who gave me money when I needed it at most right there.
Well, yeah, no one accomplishes any level of success anywhere without help along the way. So I understand that.
Absolutely. I think, like, for myself, I know who have helped me out along the way, and my parents. And if I were to, you know, be saying stuff and acting that way, if I was given that situation, which not going to happen for them anymore, I've lost my chance at fame. Oh no, no longer star athlete. They would be like, no, there's got to stay, keep humble of realizing, like, at least, especially in the track world too, you can never claim that you're the best because on any given day, someone else can win.
Can beat you.
And there's always that mentality of that, dude, there's someone out there faster than me at any point in time. And I had a great race today. I might have won, but there's somebody out there that's faster than me. And I think that if that's always the mentality of, like, keep yourself humble and realize that you're not at that peak yet. I think the moment you think you've reached your peak, you're already off of it at that point because you kind of gotten soft mentally. And I believe that by being, you know, over ecstatic for certain things that happen, no doubt you should celebrate the good things that happen. But I definitely feel that there's a way to do it properly.
Agreed. And, you know, you do bring up good points that, you know, I agreed on certain points. Overall, I enjoy it.
I dare you to disagree with me.
I don't mind the stunting and the celebrating. And when people are like, oh, Cam Newton celebrated too long in that game versus the Saints because he celebrated for 8 seconds. And they're like, oh, he should be celebrating for 5 seconds.
Yeah, see, that's what, like, I don't want to get into.
Now we're splitting hairs. Now this is ridiculous. You know, so there's a level of celebration that he can do, but there's a certain, like, when, so he crosses the line at the 6 seconds. 6 seconds and, okay. You know,
that is the thing. I don't want to have to get into that either because I'm not the one to say what's proper, what's not. Yeah. It really is just like in that moment. You have to kind of go on a moment by moment basis, I feel, because you can't just say, oh, this is how every celebration should participate, how it should happen, because that's just boring. We do love the fact when, like, something crazy happens, like, oh, you want it, you know, if your team just did an interception pick six to help you win a game, you're going nuts in your house, you know? Yeah. Like, I want to be able to see those guys going nuts. And like I said, I'm not going to be able to have a rule book defined as to what's appropriate celebration. I'm not going to write that because I don't know what it is, really.
Well, I mean, if you look at the best Olympic moment of all time, and I challenge anyone out there to give me a better Olympic moment than Vince Carter jumping over Frederick Weiss, a 7-footer, dunking on him, and the celebration.